fell in love with the G and me. She love it, she love it. You know I got the homies parked right outside.
Yeah.
The blood red Lambo, you know what I buy. Got the killers
all
and the bitches that be ready to ride. They love it, they love it.
Keep you rolling. Man, what's going on, family? Keep you rolling. Man, I got a bump. That's that Chris Brown. That's the shit right there. Man, what's going on, family? Welcome to the Tariq Elite Radio Show. I am your gracious host. My name is Tariq Elite Nasheed. Glad to have everybody tuning in. We're going to chop up some good game as usual, ladies and gentlemen. And what we're going to do, we're going to take a real quick commercial break. But the phone number is 818-850-5404. When I get back, I will take some of your calls. And we're going to chop up game with the family right here on the Tariq Elite Radio Show. Don't go nowhere, family.
Hey, what's up? It's dating and life coach Mr. Locario. Go to badboymembership.com and master the dating game by joining my Bad Boy Membership Program. In this program, you'll receive 45 through 90 minute, easy to follow, step-by-step dating advice tutorials that's guaranteed to help you attract, date, and have sex with beautiful women. Join the Bad Boy Membership today by going to badboymembership.com. That's badboymembership.com.
Bay Area, get ready. Cincinnati, get ready. Join Tariq Nasheed from the hit film series Hidden Colors on the Age of Empowerment Tour. On the Age of Empowerment Tour. Coming to the Bay Area at the Black Repertory Theater in Berkeley, California on January 30th. And coming to Gallery 7 in Cincinnati, Ohio, February 6th. For tickets and info, go to www.tariqlive.com. For tickets and info, that's www.tariqlive.com. The Age of Empowerment Tour.
You're now tuning into the king of game, Tariq Elite, on Tariq Elite Radio.
You better
recognize. Hey, what's going on, family? We are back right here on the Tariq Elite Radio Show. And I am your gracious host. My name is Mr. Tariq Elite Nasheed. King Flex, whatever you want to call me. I'm glad to have everybody back. Family, don't forget, man, I got a brand new lecture that's available now. It's called Breaking the Cycle. You can get that at TariqRadio.com. TariqRadio.com, that's where you can go and get the new lecture called Breaking the Cycle. The game is hot. It's been some real good hot fire on that. And that's the one I recorded. We filmed out in Toledo, Ohio, when I was out there a couple of months ago. And speaking of my lectures, I'm going to be up in the Bay Area next week. We're going to have a great time out there. And I'll be in Cincinnati February 6th. Get your tickets at TariqLive.com. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a lot of stuff we got to talk about on today's show. We got the new Hidden Colors 4 trailer available to watch. A lot of folks love the trailer. That's on YouTube right now. Y'all send that. Everybody you're listening, send a link to WorldStar. Have WorldStar post that up because that's what we need. We need to have that knowledge, that information posted up on places like WorldStar and all these other gossip sites. That's what we need. We need this information. We need this knowledge. We need the ism. People love the trailer. The trailer is off the chain. And again, we're still working on the film. The film will be done in a few months. We got a long time to finish the stuff. I'm taking my time with it. As you see, we put a lot of work in just the trailer alone to make it look real tight and real crisp. So it's coming. I know everybody's waiting for it and everybody's anxious, but the Hidden Colors 4, the Religion of White Supremacy, it is definitely coming, ladies and gentlemen. But what I want to talk about, I want to talk about these bedwinches out here. The bedwinches are working overtime. The Negro bedwinches, and those, if you listen to my show, you should know what the Negro bedwinches are. They are black women who usually lay up with white males, and the white males use them to promote or protect white supremacist agendas. Now, just because a black woman is laying up with a white male, that doesn't make her a Negro bedwinch. But when the black woman starts to regurgitate white supremacist talking points and they start to do things that will maintain the system of white supremacy and act as a shield for white supremacy, well, that makes you a Negro bedwinch. Because now you're choosing to have a slave mentality. And we're putting together the Plantation Celebration Award Show. that's going to happen sometime this year. It's going to happen soon. I'm telling you, we're working on this now. We're in the planning stages now. I'm just trying to figure out what city we're going to have it in, what the format is going to be, how we're going to stream it. I might just have to create a website to stream it because Ustream has so many problems. All my tech guys out there, y'all holler at me and give me some ideas on how we can stream this and do it like a pay-per-view. We're having the Coon Train Awards, formerly known as the Plantation Celebration. We gotta have it. We're gonna have to start letting people know you're gonna be rewarded and put out there for sabotaging black society and trying to protect white supremacy. Because Stacey Dash, now we know that Stacey Dash has been doing the little bedwinch thing for a long time. And she's trending right now on Twitter. Now, a year or so ago, we already put her on the Coon Train. On, I think, Coon Train 2. She's on the second Coon Train. So she's been on the Coon Train. So now she's doubling down on the cooning. And that's the thing. They're putting a lot of the bedwinches out here now. They're putting... This is 2016. And a lot of the bedwinches... The white supremacists, and understand, always focus on the white supremacists putting these bedwinches out there like that. They're putting the bedwinches out there to do their dirty work. I think the reason why it's being doubled down on now, especially with places like Fox News, because Fox News, they've had two bedwinches on this week. But the way they're doubling down now is because it's an election season. And I'm going to break that down in a minute. But let me play a clip of Stacey Dash in all of her bedwinch glory talking about BET is divisive. And all this is a backlash coming from Jada Pinkett. Our sister Jada Pinkett, who's married to Will Smith, for those who don't know, she came out talking about, you know, how the Oscars and these awards, they're very exclusionary when it comes to black people. And a lot of black people are criticizing the Oscars. And now there's a backlash from that. So the white supremacists, they put their bedwinches out there to do their dirty work. And here is Stacey Dash on Fox News doing the bedwinch thing.
Outrage with some over the lack of diversity in this year's list of Oscar nominees. Filmmaker Spike Lee and actress Jada Pinkett Smith say they're not going to go to the Oscars next month after an all-white list of nominees was announced for the major categories for a second year in a row. Join us now to weigh in, actress and Fox News contributor Stacey Dash. Stacey, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Well, what do you think about this?
I think it's ludicrous.
Why?
Because we have to make up our minds. Either we want to have segregation or integration. And if we don't want segregation, then we need to get rid of channels like BET and the BET Awards and the Image Awards, where you're only awarded if you're black.
Okay, now let's stop there. Now, this is the thing. This is the white supremacist talking. She's just a puppet because a lot of people are beating up on her, as they should. You know, you shouldn't be a damn bedwinch. But understand that it's the white supremacist talking. She's just the puppet. They're giving her these talking points to make. Now, she knows what she's saying is bullshit. BET, they're always giving a white person an award. She just flat out lied. All right? But again, this is the white supremacist talking. They're making her talk. BET always gives awards to Justin Timberlake. So they always give awards to white people. And then she mentioned the Image Awards. That's the NAACP Image Awards. And the NAACP was founded by white people. So that just negates that whole argument. So her argument can be easily debunked. But again, Stacey Dash is really a nobody. So what they do, they get black nobodies and put them out there and give them a forum and let them just basically lie just to get the bullshit talking point across. Okay, this is nothing but propaganda. This is not news. This is propaganda. Yeah, somebody in the chat room said Justin Bieber, he was nominated for a BET award. So what she said was a flat out lie. But again, this is the white supremacists really talking. They're giving her the forum to tell these lies.
If it were the other way around, we would be up in arms. It's a double standard.
So you say there shouldn't be a BET?
in the white supremacist suspect interviewer, let me tell y'all some black folks, stop falling for that whole naive, so there shouldn't be a BET Awards, is that what you're saying? He's in on it now, let's be clear.
The other way around, we would be up in arms. It's a double standard.
So you say there shouldn't be a BET channel?
No, I don't think so, no.
Oh, I love the fake, phony, that phony, I'm naive, I don't know. So what are you saying? Are you, like, he don't know that what she's saying is being promoted by the white supremacists there at Fox. You dig? He's in on it. That whole naive, dumb, I'm going to let you say all the things that we should say, but we don't want to look like we're being racist by saying it, so we'll get a black person to say it. That's their tactic.
Just like there shouldn't be a Black History Month.
Okay. Now these, again, these are the white supremacists talking. There shouldn't be a Black History Month. Now, why is there a Black History Month? There's a Black History Month because the white supremacists, they go out of their way to negate black history. They go out of their way to hide black history. So brothers like Carter G. Woodson came up with, like, hey, can you at least do a monthly thing, like a 1 month a year where we focus on black history? But we should do or practice black history all the time. That's why I did the Hidden Colors series. The Hidden Colors series is for African history all the time, because our history is world history.
You know, we're Americans, period. That's it.
Are you saying there shouldn't be a Black History Month because there isn't a White History Month?
Exactly.
There is a White History Month. It's called the History Channel. It's called the National Geographic Channel. It's called the Discovery Channel. You got white history 24/7. And even black history, they turned it into white history. Those Exodus movies where they're making the Africans white. So every day is White History Month.
Exactly.
Al Sharpton has jumped on this boycott bandwagon. He says, don't watch, because Hollywood, here's a quote, Hollywood has become like the Rocky Mountains. The higher you get, the whiter.
The whiter you get. Well, that's not necessarily true. And if it is, you know, that needs to change. What I find astounding is that we've had a president who is black in office for the past 8 years, who gets most of his funding from the liberal elite in Hollywood. Mm-hmm. Yet there are not very many roles for people of color.
What the fuck is this broad talking about? That don't make no damn sense. That really don't make no sense. What does Barack Obama have to do with Hollywood?
How can that be? And why is it just now being addressed?
I can understand Jada Pinkett Smith's frustration that her husband wasn't nominated for, you know, he did a great job in the movie Concussion. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, what does that say about how people are selected for these awards?
Right. That's assuming they're selected by race, which I think would be a disservice to the people who are looking at the films and making the choices. Maybe they need to be more, you know, integrated, and there need to be more diverse people in the process of electing.
In the academy.
Okay, she don't know what the fuck she's talking. So now she's kind of going off script now, because now she said her bullshit talking points they told her to say, and now she's going on her own, and she's dingy as a fucking fruit bat. She's babbling now, because now she said her basic talking points. Her basic talking points was to shit on black people, to shit on Black History Month, and to blame the liberals. That's all that, those are the only two things they're supposed to do. Shit on black people and blame liberals.
In the academy.
The demographics of the academy apparently are secret, but for the most part, according to some investigation out in Hollywood, it's predominantly white males.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yeah. So maybe that says something about who they select, or are they looking for that, or the best movies and the best actors?
I hope they're looking for the best movies and the best actors. The good news is that there's attention brought to it now. But like I said, over the past 8 years, we've had a president who's black, who gets his funding mainly from Hollywood.
Okay, now she's just regurgitating the same old Democrat liberal talking points. She's dingy as a fucking fruit bat. Okay, so I don't put too much stock in her. You know, they got the white supremacists. Let me put my Mackin music on, family. The white supremacists, they got their Negro bedwinches working overtime, and she's talking greasy about BET. And BET tweeted, the people who runs the Twitter for BET, they tweeted today. They were like, well, why don't you give us our check back? Because you were in an episode of a few episodes of the show, The Game. If y'all remember, she was on BET. I mean, let's be real. Stacey Dash hasn't been getting a lot of acting work. BET was one of the few people that hired her ass to act. And now she turned around and shitted on them. So they were like, hell, give us our check back. But you got to understand this. People like Stacey Dash and other Negro bedwinches like Crystal Wright, who got on Fox a few days ago talking about the Democrats have made blacks dumber and broker and less employed. And she got up there talking greasy, doing the same routine. Because you have to understand, there are conservative think tanks out here that gets millions of dollars in support. And they come up with ways to find these washed up Negro bedwinches and fund them and put them out there in the media to regurgitate their white supremacist talking points, to galvanize and send codes to the white supremacist voters out there. Let me break this down. Because the white supremacists, they play chess, not checkers. The reason why we're seeing a lot of these Negro bedwinches, especially on Fox, out there making these talking points, talking negatively about black people, is because it's an election season. And what the media outlets are trying to do, they're trying to galvanize that white supremacist vote. And in order to galvanize that white supremacist vote and that white supremacist support, because they need those votes to keep the Congress people and all these people conservative, what they do, they get black people to use these talking points about crime, because a lot of the Republicans, they run on tough on crime laws. They run on gun laws. And these tough on crime and these gun laws are really code words for keeping black folks under control. You got it? So whenever you see Trump and all these people, I'm going to be tough on crime. These are little racist code words. That means we're going to lock up more black people. We're going to give black people tougher sentences. And the white supremacist voters, they like that. That's what white supremacy is about. It's about coming up with ways to mistreat black people. And also with the gun laws and the gun rights and get your hand off our guns. See, that type of stuff, those gun laws are for black people. Gun laws in this country, they've always been for black people. Always. To keep the black population under control. That's, these people aren't getting guns for no Al-Qaeda or ISIS and all that shit. Stop it. They're getting guns to keep the black population under control. You got it? So this is why they're doubling down and they got their bedwinches working overtime talking crazy about black society, because they're trying to galvanize that white supremacist support so these Republicans can get votes and get support. And I don't really look at Republicans and Democrats any differently, by the way. These are just two different sides of white supremacy, because I'm not impressed by any of the Democrats either, truth be told. Because we're going to have to start talking seriously about black people in America getting resources allocated towards them. This Bernie Sanders guy talked down on reparations. I wasn't too pleased with that. And Hillary Clinton, too. That's something that we're not going to have to let these people ignore. We're going to have to be more vocal about reparations as melanoid people. And again, I talked about this on Ustream. We're going to have a don't vote campaign. We're going to have a campaign where we're just not going to vote at all. We're not going to vote Republican. We're not going to vote Democrat, because it's useless and people take our votes for granted. And our votes are useless because we galvanize our vote and nothing is done for us. All these other groups have things done for them. But when we try to get something done for us, people tell us we're divisive. So what we'll do, we'll just divide ourselves away from voting for your asses, period. We're going to have to get very serious about that, family. Brothers like Malcolm talked about how we should be wary about voting. Brother Khalid Muhammad talked about how we shouldn't be out there voting for presidents and all that stuff, because they take our votes for granted. We're going to go deeper on this in months to come. We got to start getting serious about this. Voting is useless. Voting for these presidents. Now, voting locally, now that makes more sense because your vote is more effective. But understand that a lot of the presidents, they're elected by the electoral college vote. That's why y'all remember some years back when, was it John Kerry was running against Bush and John Kerry got all the votes, but Bush ended up winning because of the electoral college. You understand? So we got to be very serious and understand how the game is played, because a lot of times they just want us to vote, not because our vote is going to determine who the president is, but they want us to get out there and vote because they can keep tabs on you as a voter. You understand? It's a lot. It's a real deep thing. When you vote, they can kind of keep tabs on your activity, who you are, what your likes and dislikes are. They can keep a little information on you if you are a voter. So I'm dead serious. We're going to have a don't vote campaign where we're not voting for anybody who does not speak up specifically for black people's needs, because voting is pointless. Getting out there voting and you're not going to do nothing for us, we are wasting damn time. And don't let nobody fool you. Barack Obama is proof of that. Most of us voted for Barack Obama, and that brother turned around and called us thugs and prayed for us, and we're out here getting slaughtered in the streets. So that shows you how our vote don't mean a damn thing, and what they're trying to do is scare people with Donald Trump. I don't think Donald Trump is going to win, but they're trying to scare people with Trump. They're showing Trump acting a fool out here and got people panicking like, oh, damn, we got to vote for somebody besides Trump. Nah. We ain't voted for shit. Let him get elected with all his fuckery. If Trump were to get elected, the country would go down in hell to hell in a handbasket, because he's already alienated so many different groups. I would love for Donald Trump to get elected with all of his fuckery. We need a reset button. We need a reset button. And if he got elected, this thing would go to hell in a handbasket. And that's kind of a good thing. That's a good thing, because we don't need the system of white supremacy ruining things for people who are classified as non-white. We need a system of justice. We need a system of justice. But I digress, ladies and gentlemen. But a lot of people are talking about the Oscars. And Jada Pinkett made some very good points about the Oscars not being diverse. And a lot of people in Hollywood are complaining about the lack of diversity with the new Oscar nomination. The Oscars this year is lily white. The Oscars this year is lily damn white. They didn't nominate no black actors for nothing. Lily white. And that's the way you live in a system of white supremacy, family. That's why it's lily white. You live in a system of white supremacy. Even Straight Outta Compton, this is the killing thing. Straight Outta Compton, which was a great movie. It was a couple of brothers in that movie who should have been nominated. They did a phenomenal job. F. Gary Gray should have been nominated for director or something. Straight Outta Compton did get nominated. It got nominated for best screenplay, but the screenplay was written by white people. So the stuff they did at this Academy Awards this year, it seemed like they literally went out of their way to keep this thing lily white. And I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised at all. Just like with the movie Creed. Now, in the movie Creed, they nominated Sylvester Stallone. Now, Creed had Michael B. Jordan, who did a phenomenal job in this movie. The movie Creed, Michael B. Jordan did an excellent job. This brother acted his ass off. So they overlooked him for Sylvester Stallone. And for the last 30 years, Sylvester Stallone has been doing the same thing in all the other Rocky movies. He didn't do anything any different in this Creed movie that he's been doing in the Rocky movies for the last 30-something years. He hasn't done one thing but just grunt. This nigga done grunted for 30 fucking years. Now y'all gonna give him an Oscar nomination? But I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised at all. Let me get a call real quick. What's up? Who's calling? Hello? Okay, don't mess up the floor of the show, everybody. All right. I hate when people mess up the floor of the show. But, hold on. Let me get this call right quick. Hold on 1 second. All right, what's up? Who's calling?
Hey, Brother Tariq. This is Mark from Cleveland again. How you doing, man?
I'm good. How you doing, family?
Man, I'm hanging in there, man. Good game. You're chopping up today.
Thank you,
but
sir.
Neely Fuller said it best. We have to get a counter-racist code amongst ourselves. We need to get away from this intersectionalism stuff, all this fuckery. We need to create our own movie houses. We need to go back prior to the Civil Rights Act, man.
Absolutely.
That's what we need to do.
Absolutely, brother.
And we got to rely on ourselves instead of looking for approval from white daddy.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much, my brother, and God bless you.
Thank you, brother. That's real talk, man. And the thing is, when y'all see, and let me talk to black folks here, because this is the thing. Because you got some coon-trained Negroes out here in the streets, too, who will try to sabotage any black person trying to build a community. That's another thing. When black people try to build something, you got niggas out here in the streets that will try to sabotage it. So y'all got to chill out on that, too. We got to have mechanisms in which to kind of punish and reward that type of behavior, too. You dig? Because, again, every time I put out Hidden Colors, these niggas will stand in line to bootleg these shits. And that ain't helping either. So that fuckery mentality has to go. We got to get a code. That bootlegging fucks the game up. That bootlegging killed a lot of the black bookstores. That's why black bookstores are just now getting themselves together, really because of the Hidden Colors series. This is what a lot of them are telling me. A lot of the bookstores are telling me that, hey, man, the Hidden Colors series and damn near saved some of my businesses out here. Not all of them. I mean, look, I'm not trying to take credit for anything, but the Hidden Colors series got people interested in a lot of these books and a lot of these speakers again. So we got to keep that momentum going. We got to cut out that bootlegging and all the nigga shit. But I digress. But like I said, with the Oscars, you know, when it comes down to business, the white supremacists look out for each other. And in the Academy Award president, they got a token black woman there, Cheryl Boone something. She has a white husband, so there's some bedwinching, some suspected bedwinching there. And they're putting her out there. She's making statements talking about we're going to try to be more diverse in the future and all this. So they're putting the tokens out there. They got them doubling down. You got to watch these sisters out here laying up with these white dudes. They know how to use people like that. They know how to use people like that. And y'all got to be careful about asking for diversity, because the white supremacists, they'll pull another trick bag on you. When black people start talking about, we need you to be more diverse, we need you to be more diverse, the white supremacists are just going to say, okay, you want diversity? You want some black people in here? Okay. Well, we're going to have another Butler movie. We're going to have another movie, The Help. We're going to have another movie, The Blind Side. And then when black people say, hey, man, these movies are kind of negative. Oh, come on. You want a diversity. Which one is it? Come on. If we include you, you get mad. If we don't include you, you get mad. I mean, what's the deal? And that's them playing dumb. They play that same game over and over again. Because with the Oscars this year, I'm not even tripping on them not having diversity. I'm kind of cool with it, because just like Neely Fuller said once, you got to be careful about including black folks in some of the white supremacist activity, because when they include us, usually it's going to be negative. When they include us, they're going to include us on some old slave buck dancing coon shit. So sometimes it's better if we don't be in their mix. We live in a system of white supremacy. We cats just don't want to get that through their heads. And I stopped taking the Oscars seriously back in 94 when they nominated Angela Bassett and didn't give her the win. I think they gave Jessica Lange the Oscar for the best female in a lead role. I knew they robbed that sister. Nobody was better than Angela Bassett that year or since to me. And What's Love Got to Do with It? Angela Bassett played the shit out of that role. That Tina Turner role, I remember watching that in the theater. I'm like, damn, I know this sister's gonna get an Oscar for this shit. Angela Bassett is phenomenal. And when they overlooked her, I said, okay, this shit is not valid. I don't take them seriously. And they nominated or gave Jessica Lange the award for some movie called Blue Skies, a movie that nobody, I don't think anybody heard of now. So what they do, they get Chris Rock as the entertainment to host it. But that's not good enough. And I love Chris Rock, by the way, but that's not good enough. So this is why we're going to have to start focusing on doing us and creating our own economy and our own distribution. And this is why, and I'm practicing what I preach. This is why we got the Hidden Colors series going strong. We do need more theaters, and we need people to support more black movie theaters, black-owned theaters, so we can show our movies, and we got to get that support. Not just because they're black, but because they're good. Because that's another thing. A lot of folks want to do some crappy shit and say, hey, support it because I'm black. Nah, you got to be thorough. See, we can't look at black empowerment as a charity thing. You got to be thorough. And you got to represent. And you got a lot of people out here who will put up GoFundMe pages and use it to scam money off people. They'll use the guise of black empowerment to scam money. There's a lot of that shit going on. That's going to have to go. And you know who you are, niggas. And y'all black folks out here supporting niggas out here scheming and scamming with GoFundMe and Indiegogo scams, where they want to talk about they're going to put out a movie and they never put it out. And any of y'all niggas out there supporting that, shame on you for supporting that. Because that's that culture of lies that a lot of black folks are so used to. Black folks are so used to people lying to them. You inadvertently support motherfuckers lying because you kind of like lies. That has to go. So don't trip on the Oscars. So let's start building our own thing. Let me get a call real quick before I finish. I got some more stuff to talk about. What's up? Who's calling?
Hey, Tariq.
Hey, what's up? Who's this?
Hey, this is Antoine. I talked to you. I was in the think tank.
Hey, what's going on, brother? How you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm glad I was able to get in contact with you, because I think they're trying to block me from your email. I don't know what's going on, but what I wanted to talk to you about is I talked to you about it in the think tank. And how about we start a GoFundMe campaign or whatnot, and what we do is we put our money in one pot. Hello?
Okay, I'm here.
Right? Yeah, we put our money together or whatnot. Like, but you got to do it. You got to put it out there. I can't do it. Nobody can do it, because nobody trusts nobody. We trust you.
Right.
So we put like $50 together, and we start a grocery store or something. And then from that, we can all maybe... maybe your mom makes some clothes, maybe somebody up the street makes some chicken, and we put it all in one store, and they'll support it because you are behind it.
Right. We'll chop it up about it. There's a lot of stuff that goes into opening a store, and a lot of, detail about location and what kind of store. So again, we'll chop it up privately about that, man. But thanks for the call, family.
All right. Talk to you later.
No doubt. But again, man, you got to understand, the white supremacists, they got the bedwinches doubling down for them. And this brings me to that book that I talked about on my Ustream show not too long ago. There's a book, a children's book, that they tried to put out called A Birthday Cake for George Washington. Okay? It's called A Birthday Cake for George Washington. And it was two females who wrote the book. Well, one lady, she's like Trinidadian and Iranian, but she identifies more with being Middle Eastern. And the black female who did the illustration, her name was Vanessa something. And I think Vanessa is a suspected bedwench. I think she has a white husband. I suspect her of having a white husband, because on her Facebook page, she has a whole bunch of stuff about mixed families and interracial families. So I'm assuming she has a white husband. So they got this book they put out. And the book is put out through one of the biggest children's book publishers in the world. That's Scholastic Press. They've been around since the 1920s. So they are very big on children's books. And this is how slick these white supremacists are. This is not just slick, but how demonic they are. They put out this book called A Birthday Cake for George Washington. And the book is about, it's based on a real story about an enslaved African and his family who were enslaved by George Washington and his family. And it's about George Washington's 65th birthday. It's coming up and it's a real big event. And in the book, the main cook was a black man named Hercules. They're scrambling around trying to make a cake for George Washington, but they ran out of sugar. So they're trying to find something else to replace the sugar because they're so happy and so proud to make George Washington this cake. And in the book, they made it seem like the George Washington and Martha Washington and the slaves are just one big old happy mixed family. That happy slave narrative, like they downplay slavery like it wasn't that bad. George Washington was a nice slave owner. Everybody was all happy and smiles and grinning, and they were so proud to work for George Washington. That's the narrative in the book. And we did a story on Melanoid Nation around the 14th of January a few weeks ago. Shout out to Bryson, who actually posted the story. We did a story talking about the fuckery in this book. And since we did that story, the family people have been getting at the publisher. They've been getting at the people on Amazon. They've been getting at them hard. The Melanoid family got on the publisher so hard, they had to actually pull the book out of circulation. That's Melanoid power right there. The family got in on them so hard, this publisher actually had to pull the book, and they issued a press release saying that they had to pull the book because of the controversy, because of the criticism, because the book is full of damn lies. The book is full of lies. Because this, it is based on a true story, but the true story is the Hercules character wasn't happy and all joyous for working for George Washington. He wasn't making this cake because he loved George Washington so much. He was making this cake, or he was cooking for George Washington and using that as a guise and as a smokescreen to escape. He used the whole festivities of George Washington's birthday to get the hell out of that plantation, and he escaped and they never caught him again. That's the real story, but they don't want to talk about that. They made this bullshit make-believe happy slave narrative, and that's a very dangerous thing to do. And you got to watch these white supremacists when they try to pull that move on us, trying to make it seem like slavery wasn't that bad. And I've seen some comments on other websites that had the press release from the book publisher. There are a lot of white supremacists commenting, talking about, hey, people need to stop being so politically correct. All slave masters weren't cruel. Stop right there. Because a lot of people in the dominant society, they have that narrative that all slave owners weren't that bad. Let's stop right there, because owning a damn person, that's bad enough. Owning a person is bad enough. The fact that a motherfucker was owned and couldn't leave, that's pretty bad enough. So I don't want to hear about how they were kind and they were cool to their slaves. You can't be too kind and cool to a damn slave. In theory, by definition, slavery is cruel. By definition, it's cruel. But the white supremacists, they will do anything to relieve any kind of guilt, to have that cognitive dissonance. And the thing is, when you look into the history of George Washington and Martha Washington, because again, historians go out of their way to try to make it seem like George Washington was some kind of cool slave owner. He wasn't like the other ones. They really try to downplay him owning African people. They go out of their way to try to downplay that. If you bring it up, then they'll go into it. But they try their best to ignore that fact, that George Washington, the father of this country, owned Africans. He kept them in bondage. They tried their best to go out of their way to ignore that. When he owned hundreds of them, there were hundreds of slaves on the Mount Vernon plantation. And then when you do acknowledge that George Washington had Africans enslaved, the white supremacist historians, they try to downplay that too. Well, he felt torn morally about it. Privately, if you read his diaries, he kind of felt bad about owning all of those slaves. No, the fuck he didn't. If he felt bad, he would have let them go. I'm not giving him an A for effort. He didn't feel that morally torn, because when some of the Africans escaped, he damn sure went out and tried to get them. He sent people out there to try to get them. You read some of the slave records and the diaries of the plantations that he owned. When Africans were getting their ass whooped by the overseers, he was co-signing that. George Washington had no problem with black folks getting their asses whooped on them plantations. No problem. He wasn't no benevolent slave master. He was just as cruel and fucked up as all the other ones. So don't let him. George Washington, remember, he used to yank the teeth out of slaves and put them in his own mouth. His teeth were always fucked up. I think he had some kind of treatment where his teeth were fucked up his whole life. He started losing teeth in his early 20s. And by the time he became president, he had one tooth in his mouth. So he had a bad dental problem all his life. So he just yanked the teeth out of his enslaved Africans and put it in his mouth. Then the historians, for years, they lied about that. They tried to lie and say he had dentures made out of wood. That's that lie they used to tell you when you were a kid. His dentures weren't made out of no damn wood. Those were African people's teeth in his mouth. But look at the history of George Washington and Martha Washington, his wife. Because that the Hercules brother, he wasn't the only one who ran off that plantation. There were a few people running away from George Washington. A few of them left that damn plantation. They risked their lives to get the fuck away from him. Martha Washington, George Washington's wife, she had a personal slave, a black girl who was like 15, 16 years old, by the name of Ona Judge, O-N-A Judge, that was her name. Now, she was the personal slave of Martha Washington. I mean, she had to bathe Martha Washington, wash her hair. I mean, she was her personal servant. That sister got the fuck out of Dodge and ran away. And I want y'all to look at my lecture that I did called Breaking the Cycle, because I talked about this. I talked about how the mulatto house slaves were the main ones running away. It wasn't the field slaves running away. The field slaves, they were looking at the big house like that was a come up. But the actual slaves that were in the big house with the white masters, slave owners, the house slaves, if you look at the slave censuses and if you look at runaway newspaper articles, most of the runaways were house servants. And the thing is, why were these house servants running away so much? Why were they risking their lives to get the hell out of these homes? Why was people like Ona Judge, who was the slave of the president and the first lady, why did she risk her life in the block? She knew the block would be hot for her. That was the president's slave. Hercules, why did this dude risk his life to get the fuck away from George Washington and his wife if they were so kind and benevolent and happy? This is because the house slaves, they worked directly under these white supremacists, and they knew how fucking sick and demonic they were. See, the field slaves, you know, they kind of get an idealistic mentality and view of the slave owners. You did, because you're not around them. But the African enslaved people who are up in them houses, up under these people every day and listening to them and just being around them, you saw how fucking demonic and evil they were. You get around the white supremacists, you'll see how evil and demonic they are. And there's just no reasoning with them. They're racist to the bone. They want to practice white supremacy to the bone. It's in everything in their being. And these house servants knew there's no changing these people. This shit is to the bone with them. So they said, let me risk my life to get the fuck out of here. They said, I'll risk my life to get the fuck away from them. And Martha Washington, she felt so betrayed. She was so upset and betrayed because these white supremacists think that they're actually doing you a favor by treating you like, if they rape you and give you some goodies, they think they're doing you a favor. They think in their mind that they've convinced themselves that, well, I saved you from Africa. I've saved you. It's that Paula Deen mentality. If you look at Paula Deen, bless her heart, Paula Deen, and even Cliven Bundy, I talk about him a lot, but people like that, Paula Deen, she's so racist, she don't even know she's racist anymore. And that's what these people had to deal with in these plantations. Listen to Paula Deen. Paula Deen, she's such a fucking white supremacist and has no clue about her being a white supremacist. Well, she was talking about her granddad or great-grandfather owning slaves, and she was talking about it, trying to get sympathy. She's like, oh, I feel so bad. My great-granddaddy, y'all, he lost everything after the Civil War, y'all. He lost his slaves. Poor him, y'all. He was hungry. He had to starve, y'all. So she's trying to get sympathy from her slave-owning, for her slave-owning great-granddad. And when they asked her, do you ever call black people nigga? Of course I call them niggas, y'all. A nigga robbed me, y'all. So she has no clue how much of a white supremacist she is. I'm not racist, y'all. Some of my best friends, I got a black right here, y'all. He drives me around all the time. She was doing some show. She brought out one nigga who looks like a plantation slave standing there looking stupid. So everybody who she deals with is on some slave shit. There was one of Paula Deen's workers, this black woman. She said Paula Deen wanted her to go outside and ring a bell in front of the restaurant. That's... It's like the lady said, Paula, I ain't ringing no bell for you now. Why not, y'all? It's like Paula Deen wanted to dress her employees up as literally as slaves. It's all good fun, y'all. So just imagine living in a house with a motherfucker like that, who's just so racist to the bone, they think they're doing you a favor with their racism. So no wonder these people got the hell out of Dodge, man. You can't reason with these people. And let me tell you something with the Washingtons, man, the George Washington. And another thing they try to bring up with George Washington, Well, at least when George Washington died, he had in his will that he wanted all of his slaves to be free. So he wasn't that bad, now was he? Bullshit. Because watch these white supremacists. They'll tell you one truth and then flip it and tell a lie. They'll tell one truth and then they'll flip it and tell a lie. Now, in George Washington's will, he did want all of his slaves freed when he died. But he also stated he wants them free when he dies and then when his wife dies. After Martha Washington dies, that's when he wants all of the slaves free. But this was the thing. When George Washington died, word got out to the other slaves on the plantation, because he had hundreds of slaves there. The word got out that the only thing standing between freedom and slavery was Martha Washington's little decrepit ass. So they started plotting on her, and she knew it. So Martha Washington got paranoid because she knew they were plotting on her. She thought they were going to poison her food, which I think they were. They were like, hey, we got a real good cake for your ass now, Martha. You'll love this cake. Don't worry about the aftertaste. That's just a little poison. I mean, a little paprika. And also, there was a mysterious fire on the plantation. It looked like the slaves, I think they were about to burn the shit down. They were trying to get rid of her ass, and she knew it. And then she said, okay, all of y'all can be free. So if anytime they try to talk about Martha Washington and George Washington freeing their slaves after he died, the only reason Martha Washington freed those slaves is because they were going to kill her ass, and she knew it. So that showed you how happy they were with her. That showed you the happy family they had on the plantation. They weren't happy. If they were so happy, she wouldn't have thought they were going to off her dumb ass. Which they should have. They had every right to. You have every human right to go for your freedom. And another thing about George Washington, this is another thing they don't like talking about either. You know, for a long time, there's been rumors about George Washington having a black son. Now, George Washington and Martha, they never had any kids. So historians generally say that George Washington had no children, no biological children of his own. But for years, there's been rumors of George Washington having a black son by the name of West Ford. I want y'all to Google what I'm saying. Because there was another plantation, I think, that was owned by George Washington's half-brother or stepbrother, somebody related to him. And there was a female slave on this plantation named Venus. Google Venus and George Washington. And the rumor has always been, we know that these white supremacists used to lay it with black women on a regular basis. We know that. That was their pastime, having sex with the female slaves, the black women out there. So rumor has it that George Washington was having an affair or raping, because that's what happens when you have sex with a person who cannot escape. You're raping them. He raped a black woman named Venus, who was a slave on another plantation, and Venus had a son named West Ford. And West Ford, he's very well documented. This person is very well documented, very mysterious guy that the Washington family, everybody kind of looked out for this dude. There's this mysterious guy. They freed him because, you know, you're born a slave. But this West Ford guy, he kind of looked like George Washington. He's a black dude. They freed him when he was 21. He was staying on the Mount Vernon plantation, and they kind of looked out for this guy. They gave him an education, so he was treated a little different. So that led a lot of people to believe that that was George Washington's son. Now, the descendants of West Ford, they've been saying for years that he's George Washington's son, and they are related to the Washington family. But the descendants of George Washington's family out there at Mount Vernon, there's a group called the Ladies of Mount Vernon, something like that. They don't want to get no DNA test because, see, y'all remember with Thomas Jefferson, for years, people were talking about the relationship between Jefferson and Sally Hemings. That's been something that black folks talked about for years. And we've been saying for years that Sally Hemings and Jefferson had kids, all types of kids all over the place, and there's descendants from those kids. So the family, they've been saying this for years. And it didn't really happen until 1998 when they proved it by getting DNA. They got DNA tests on the Sally Hemings side of the family and Thomas Jefferson side of the family that proved there was a connection. So these women who are related to George Washington, people have come to them and said, hey, look, we want to test your DNA with the Ford family DNA. And those white women are like, hell no. Y'all ain't about to prove we're related to these niggas. No. They refused. They said, look, just give us a hair sample. That's all we need. We don't need nothing but a hair sample. They're like, no. They were like, hell no. DNA is kryptonite to a white supremacist, boy. Truth be told, the white supremacists, they hate DNA. DNA is kryptonite to a white supremacist. That's why they try to keep DNA out of black people's cases. That's why y'all see these cases of black men locked up for 20 and 30 years, and then they had DNA evidence that was hidden and suppressed that proved that they didn't do the crime. DNA is kryptonite to a white supremacist. They do not want to mess with that DNA, because then you'll start finding all types of Negroes in those family trees. That DNA is kryptonite. That DNA got that white supremacist rapist over there in Oklahoma. It was DNA that got that dude sent to jail. Because if it was just his word about raping all those black women, he would have got off. If it was just he say, she say, oh, they would have let him off. If it were not for the DNA, if this dude, that rapist dude who raped all those black women in Oklahoma, if he didn't leave his damn cum stains all over the place, he would have got off. You dig? But again, don't let people run this game on you. This is why we have to tell our own history. This is the main reason why we do the Hidden Colors series. And this is why, family, you got to support the Hidden Colors series, man. You got to really support it. We work hard to put it out there for the family. Just support it. And also, family, another thing. If y'all, a lot of people want to become producers on the film. We have the crowdfunding on the HiddenColorsFilm.com website where people can still contribute to Hidden Colors 4. You can become a producer and all that stuff. So you guys can go to HiddenColorsFilm.com to do that. And also, fam, we need some production ideas, not category, because a lot of people are sending me category ideas for the Plantation Celebration Coon Train Awards, but I want some production ideas on how to actually do it. Should we have a panel of judges? I'm just trying to figure out some production stuff. Should we do it in Atlanta? Should we do it in LA? Trying to figure it out. And I'm going to get the website for that pretty soon, where people can vote on some of the nominees. And also, I need some of my tech people to let me know how we can stream it, because I think I want to create a website and stream it through the website. And how can we do that? I need some tech guys, some brothers out there in the tech game who know how to do stuff like that. Give me some game, man. Let's chop it up. And don't forget, go to TariqElite.com. Get all that fresh gear, family. And don't forget to go to TariqLive.com to get tickets to join me in the Bay Area next week and in Cincinnati, Ohio on February 6th, family. All right, I'm out. Y'all have a good one, family.